Thank you so much, Pastor. If I could, can we do something a little different? I know that the children are up here this morning or this evening, but I'm going to ask if the children can go sit with their parents. Could you do that with me? Could you just get up? If you find your mom and dad, if you don't have your parents in the room, hey, just keep sitting where you're at. But if you're, if your mom and dad's here, I'm going to ask, hey, could you go sit with them just for this next 30 minutes that we're going to be together? And you say, well, why, Brother Jake, are you going to make my kids sit with me? You're going to find out in just a second, all right? So you'll get it. You'll understand. But if you have your children here, hey, would you receive them back? How about that, all right? They are precious, and we're thankful for, we've had a great week. Thank you for all the prayers of those that have prayed for the chapel services and different things. It's been obviously working, and so keep it up, and we'll see what God can do in the next few days. Well, I've been challenged. I was telling Pastor this past year, I had the opportunity to go to a prayer advance by Harold Vaughn. How many of you have ever heard of the evangelist by the name of Harold Vaughn? Anybody here heard this guy? Okay, well, he is he's a guy that probably, he's known for one thing. He's known for having these advances on prayer. And so I be honest with you, I'm an evangelist. I preach about 40 weeks out of the year, and I'm busy. I'm a busy guy. I teach six classes every day to my two students, my two children, and then I teach three to four other children via FaceTime every single day. So when school starts, from 8 till noon, Chicago time. So if it's Eastern time, it's 9 to 1. If it's California time, it's not pleasant, okay? But it's 6 to 10. But we keep it same on that side of it because they live in Chicago. And so we live in busy times, and I really thought, you know, I'm not going to go. Just got something, it's a week off, and boy, it'd just be a nice time to just slow down, you know? How many of you know that feeling, huh? Okay, good, good. And so my friend that invited me said, no, Brother Jake, you need to come. So how many of you have ever had one of those moments you're like, okay, I guess I'll go? How many of you know? Okay, good, good. And so I went, and I will say this, life-changing. I told Pastor, it was kind of like the freshman year, the first revival service I went to at Ambassador Baptist Bible College. It was that freshman, first time ever hearing an evangelist let it rip. And I thought somebody gave him my personal biography. I mean, everything I did wrong, the guy talked about. It seemed like he knew me better than I knew me. And I mean, you talk about convicted. Brother Fitzgerald, I thought I was at the altar. It seemed like every time the guy got up to preach. I mean, I just felt like I had my own little parking spot up here. And I went in January, and I will say this. It was like that. Now, I'm a little farther in my relationship with the Lord than I was in 2004, but it was that convicting. It was that surreal. Why? Because I think that many times we kind of go through this Christian life and we try it. I'm not saying nobody tries. I think a lot of people try, but we have very little results because we don't know what it really means to have a prayer life. I didn't say we don't pray, folks. Come on. You pray, don't you? You eat before you eat, don't you? Say, hey, let's bless the Lord. Let's thank the Lord for what He's done. Yeah, we pray. We don't have a prayer life. Can I tell you this? The Christian life doesn't work without communing to God. That's what prayer is. And so when I went there, I learned some things I'd never learned before. Matter of fact, one of the things I've learned is what we're going to do tonight. It's called scriptural praying. It's where you take a passage of the Bible and you actually pray the scripture with you, about you, and someone else. You say, what are you talking about? Well, we get to Isaiah chapter 66. Did I say Isaiah 66? Well, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Isaiah 66, because that's where we're going to find. And we're going to do this in 30 minutes, so we got to get going, all right? Isaiah 66. And you know, Isaiah, if he was alive today, I think he would relate with what we're dealing with in our circles today. You say, what is that? People are going through the motions of worship without a heart for God. You say, what are you talking about? Isn't it interesting that Jesus says when it comes to this idea of worship in John 4, God is the Spirit and you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Interesting, Jesus says that, right? He says to the lady at the well, hey, you got to worship God in spirit and in truth. Well, we all know those two words, but really, do we really understand what that means? What does it mean to worship God in spirit? Well, here's a good definition for it. If we're going to ever worship God the way Jesus says we're going to have to worship God, here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to spiritually get engaged. You say, what are you talking about? You know, fellas, I don't know when it happens. I've tried to figure this out for many years, but sometime when you get married, and I don't know if it's when she puts the ring across the knuckle. I don't know if it's when you said, I do. But all of a sudden, you develop a disorder. You say, what? Well, we call everything a disorder, so just go with it, okay? Yeah, you develop a disorder. You say, what? Well, what's the disorder? It's called SHD. What's that? Selective hearing disorder. And all the ladies say, amen! You say, what are you talking about? Well, you go off to work in the morning and boy, you're sitting there with your buddies and you're chatting back and forth and you've got your 25,000 words all done. And then all of a sudden, you come home. And when you enter your homestead, the door flings open and there she is. Your sweet bride. And you know what she proceeds to do? She proceeds to spend the next 15 minutes using her 25,000 words. And I mean, she's just going at it. She's telling you every detail that possibly could happen in the amount of 8 to 10 hours. In 15 minutes. And boy, she's just rattling it off. But here's the problem. You know what you're thinking about? You're thinking about the great deal the Cubs made yesterday of getting Daniel Murphy for the World Series. You're thinking about that buck that you saw on the way home. Man, he had a rack and a half. I mean, where in the world did that happen? How did that guy get a rack that big? And man, you're thinking about the problem at work. You're thinking about everything else. Watch. And then she says the dreaded question. What do you think? Oh, no. This isn't going to be good. Why? Because you don't want her to start over. Honestly. I mean, I don't want to hear another 25,000 in 15 minutes. Come on. And so now you're fumbling. You're trying to make something up. And it really, she knows that you weren't listening because it doesn't make any sense on what you're responding to her question. But you know what we do? We come to church. And we sit in the very same seat. How many of you are sitting in the same seat you always sit in? Raise your hand. Remember, God's watching. And so, we sit in the very same seat. We take the same drive to get here. We sit in the same seat. Matter of fact, we know when Brother Williams gets up what to do. He doesn't even have to tell us. We stand automatically. Isn't that amazing? We know when we sit down. We know when he prays. We know when the offering comes out. We know everything. Matter of fact, when Pastor gets up, oh, I know this passage. I already know what he's going to say. So here's what happens. We sit on autopilot. And we're just in like one of them situations when your wife is telling you all 25,000 words in 15 minutes, we're thinking, hey,
I wonder if that buck is going to come out when I'm in the tree stand. Man, I wonder what it's going to be like shooting that thing and mounting around my fireplace. Here's what happens. And we go through a whole entire hour and 15 minutes, and never get engaged. You know why you can come to church for 40 years and never grow? Because you haven't worshiped God. You haven't got spiritually engaged. You see, husbands, your wife doesn't want you to sit there and act like a zombie. Okay? She hasn't talked to an adult for 10 hours. You've been talking to adults for 10 hours. She wants to have adult conversation, not kid conversation. And so she wants you, watch this, to be engaged in her conversation that she thinks is utterly important. You know what Jesus says? Here's what he says. You got to worship me in spirit and in truth. You got to not only be spiritually engaged, but here, get this. You got to do it scripturally. You know, Bert, I had the opportunity of going down Rockville Road past the expressway. Boy, that's an adventure. I was looking for Ace, and so I was looking for this little hole in the wall called Markin, and I was looking for a key for my trailer, and so I had the wonderful experience of going all the way to the zoo. I missed it, obviously. But what I didn't miss is every used car lot between here and Timbuktu. You guys don't have to worry about finding a car. You can find something here. But you know what I found? I also noticed there's a whole lot of churches. Seems like every block you turn. You know what's sad? So many people come to what we call a church and never, ever end up worshiping God. Well, I didn't say they didn't have a good time. But you understand, if we're ever going to worship God, we got to... Jesus said this. This isn't Jake DeAndre stuff. Jesus says, no, the only way that worship is accepted is if it's worship. God is a spirit, and you must worship him in spirit and in truth. You must be spiritually engaged, and watch, you must do it scripturally. Not worldly. And you know what? We're not the only ones fighting this. You know why? Because in Isaiah's day, it was the same thing. They were real good at performing the practice. Oh, we got to wear a tie. We got to have our shoes shined. We got to sit together. We got to look good. We've got to perform our sacrifice. We've got to get a little bit of money in the offering plate. But truthfully, you know what? We don't worship. And in the days in which that looks as if it's everywhere, it seems like we don't even know what true worship is. It seems like everybody's got their own opinion. And it seems as if this world is just falling apart faster than we can even put it together. Why? Because if you go outside this place, man, we can't even figure out who's a guy and who's a girl. We didn't even know. We can't figure out, hey, a guy is supposed to marry a girl. We can't even figure these things out. But inside the church, we're in the same day that Isaiah is, and it seems dark. It seems as if it's gloomy. It seems as if, hey, there's no hope. But then we get to Isaiah 66. Look with me in verse number 2. Look what he says in verse number 2. This is so powerful to me. He says, for all those things hath my hand made. All those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. Now, I don't know about you, but I get kind of excited when I see dark, gloomy, doesn't look like there's a chance, and all of a sudden God says something like this. But to this man I will look. My ears perk up. My nose kind of raises. I'm a little interested in what God says, even in the midst of a
of a world that is worshiping the not worse, truly worshiping. I'm interested in what God says. I pay attention to this kind of person. Why? Because there's not a lot of people with a lot of hope out there if you haven't figured this out. But to this man, look what the Bible says. Will I look even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Now let me put it all together. Here's what we're going to do tonight. Tonight we're going to break up in little groups, okay? Now, if you want to pray with your family, I'm a big advocate of that, all right? We have times in my family where we just pray together as a family. Matter of fact, every morning at 8 o'clock is our family altar time. Even when I'm away, we do it digitally. We do it over texting. And so we get together and we spend time together. Why? Because it's as vital as oxygen is to living life on this earth. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray this way, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for yourself and then one other person. Okay? And we're going to break this thing apart because he says, but to this man will I look. He says, number one, a poor and contrite spirit. So we're going to take this one part, a poor spirit, okay? You say, well, what's that? What's that? Does that mean you ain't getting no money? No, it doesn't mean that. It means this, humble. You know what I find? If the devil has used one tool in our churches to destroy us, to defeat us, here it is. We have way too much pride in our lives. Let me tell you what your Bible says. James chapter 4, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So let me ask you this. Where in the world is pride accepted? It's not. You know what it does? We accept it, but all it does is bring us defeat. So here's what I want you to do. We're going to take a couple minutes, and we're going to ask God to help us be humble. Okay, then I want you to think of one other person. God, will you help this other person? Then that's it. You're going to have someone else pray. And we're going to take 2 minutes. And we're going to start scripturally praying. Why? Because when we start praying the scriptures, all of a sudden, God starts doing things in an amazing way. Because that's exactly his will. I'll get up here and we'll go to point number 2. All right? So find someone to pray with. Find someone to pray. If you don't have someone to pray with, I'll pray with you too, all right? Does that sound all right? You probably want to mic this, okay?
If you look back with me in verse number 2, you'll see not only are we going to be of a poor spirit, but he says, but to this man will I look, even to him that is a poor and of a contrite spirit.
Now, the word contrite means this, broken.
Someone said it so well. They said, until we grieve over our sin, we will never forsake our sin. You see, sometimes this seems to be our pattern, isn't it? We maybe have an unforgiving spirit towards someone, and so here's what we do. Lord, I know it's wrong. Forgive me. Lord, I know that I shouldn't be saying that or griping and complaining. Lord, I know that I should have a critical spirit, but Lord, forgive me. Watch. How many have victory like that? You don't. What happens? Next time you see that person, you are critical once again, and you get convicted, and you say, Lord, all right, God, I was critical about that person again, that situation. Lord, would you forgive me? See, here's the problem. Until we see it the way God sees it, but if you'll see it the way God sees it, if you'll be grieving over it, you say, well, where is that found? Well, haven't you ever read Psalm 51? Haven't you ever got a hold of Psalm 51 and torn that thing apart? It says, man, that's what I want. I want to restore the joy of my salvation. I want God to work me over so that I can have victory over these besetting sins in my life. Until you've been broken over not the circumstances. it's really easy, I find, in my life to justify, Pastor Arrowwood, my critical spirit. Why? Because I've got to uphold truth. I'm an evangelist. And then God all of a sudden smokes me between the eyes and says, whoa, whoa, whoa. What they have to do with any of the Let no corrupt communication proceed out of the mouth. That which is used to edify any man of certain grace that it is here. This is what God says. When that word no, guess what? It's no. Now, I know you can justify it, and listen, listen. This is who God, all of a sudden, puts a listening ear to. But to this man, even though everybody else seems to be going the way of the world, but to this man, I love it, in singular. Even though everybody else may do what they want to do, but unto this man, hey, you got my attention. You got my ear. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to find your partner, and I want you to pray. I want you to pray that God would break you over sin. Would you do that? Find your partner. You got 2 minutes. You got 2 minutes. God would break us of our sin.
Look with me at the third thing. Look what it says here. It says in verse 66, or chapter 66, verse number 2, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. You know what he's saying? Hey, even in the midst of times where it seems like the worship is futile. Why? Because people aren't spiritually engaged. Because people are not doing it scripturally. He says, but unto this man I will look. If we have that humble heart. That broken spirit. Now get this one. This is very important. And you and I decide to fear the Lord. Not the, I'm scared. No, no, no. To revere, to uphold. That's interesting. In our lives, we fear a lot of things. We revere a lot of things, don't we? There's certain things in our lives that we kind of say, well, this is what we hold up as who we are and what we are. I'm an advocate of a clean vehicle. How many of you grew up on Saturday, washing the car for Sunday church? How many of you were that way? You kind of grew up, your dad or mom? I grew up that way. My daddy, we would make me go out and wash the car Saturday so that we could bring it to church on Sunday. Now watch. He didn't teach me. So that means it didn't look good at first at all. Like, I didn't know you had to use water. I thought you just used soap. You know what I'm saying? And so it was about 90 plus degrees, and I just kind of went out there with a soap and sponge and kind of did the car and came back, and Dad was not a then I've kind of learned. I know how to do it. Matter of fact, I do it so well, I taught my son, amen, and it's his job now, all right, to bring the vehicles up to par. And so I kind of did that. And that's something that we kind of have upholded. We kind of say, hey, this is what we like. We like to have, and there's good things. Those things aren't bad things. But here's my question. What about the Word of God? Is it something that we just kind of say, well, I'm going to do what I do, and as long as I do what I want to do and it lines up with the Word of God, awesome. Great. But if it's what I want to do and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, well, I guess I'll do what I want to do. Can I tell you, you don't fear the Lord. You don't. Why? Because if we fear the Lord, here's what's going to happen. We're going to look at the Word of God and we're going to say, okay, God, this is just not going to be something that is going to educate me. It's not something that I'm just going to fill up with a whole bunch of facts. Here's what it's going to do. It's actually going to get deposited here, and it's actually going to change my life. I said it the other day, Christianity is not something that your children will inherit. It is something they will have to embrace. And how they get to embracing it is when they see a mom and dad, when they see a grandma and grandpa, listen to me, that have experienced the supernatural. Like, the only way you can say it is one word, here it is, God. And when your young people, when your grandchildren see that kind of relationship and that kind of God, who in their right mind would want to run from that? But if they see a life that looks just like everybody else's life, they don't get to see God working in a miraculous way. They don't understand Jehovah Jireh. When they don't see that, can I ask, why would they want to serve God? Why? Because in their eyes, it's just what you've done. It's just what you guys done. It's just what you guys done. And when we say, you know what? I don't want my children. I don't want my grandchildren to see that. Matter of fact, I'm going to fear the Lord. I'm going to let this thing be the guide in practice of my life. And whatever this thing says, that's what I'm going to do. Can I tell you, you will have a changed life. You can't follow the world. Sorry. Why? Because the world does things that are contrary to the Word. And so you got to make a choice. Which one do you want to fear? Do you want to fear man? Or do you want to fear the Word? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to find your partner. Find your partners again. And I want you to ask the Lord to help you and somebody else fear the Lord. Not scared, not spooky, not that, but revere what His Word has for us to do. Would you do that with me? Father, we thank You for this time we can come together. Lord, I believe in the power of prayer. Lord, I believe it's one of the missing weapons that we try to fight this battle with called life. Father, I believe when we start scripturally praying, whether it's the Colossians chapter 1 prayer or Ephesians chapter 3 prayer, Lord, there's many places in the scriptures that Paul prays for those people. Lord, when we start praying that way, Lord, You show up. And I love what Isaiah records for us, that God says, but I'll look unto a man that has a humble heart. Even in the midst of worldliness and false worship, I look to the man that has a broken spirit, and that'll fear the Lord. Lord, would You help us do that? Because, Lord, we need You. We can't do this thing on our own. I know that for a fact. I failed many a time. Lord, we'll praise You for it. In Jesus, my precious Savior's name, amen. Pastor Irwin.